So we can remember that the whole of the teachings is understood often through the metaphor of the bird that has two wings, wisdom and compassion. So how do we connect those in our practice? So let me invite us to start with a period of mindfulness. And some of us have explored this interweaving of wisdom and the awakened heart in the last 2 weeks. I remember a number of people said they'd be doing that. And so let me invite you, if you've been doing that, do that in the way you've been doing it. Otherwise, let's practice for the first period, first part of the session, mindfulness, and I'll come back and give some guidance about halfway through on some further metta practice. We'll sort of explore that interweaving from the other side, as it were. So we invite us practicing our mindfulness. And what would help that to really have the quality of both the noticing, the being with the experience, but also the quality of the kind heart, the compassionate heart, interweaving it. Very much like that line that I've heard from Sylvia Boorstein, may I meet this moment fully, may I meet this moment as a friend. So ask yourself, what would help me to have a sense as I practice mindfulness of the awakened heart being present? And then follow in this next period of practice your own guidance. As we continue to sit quietly, let me invite us to tune in to impermanence, tune in to how things are changing in our experience moment by moment, how all of our experience is impermanent, how we ourselves are impermanent, and again, can hold this with kindness and compassion. Let me invite that tuning in to things arising, staying for a while, changing, passing away, continually everything arising, staying for a while, passing away, including ourselves. Let that clear seeing of impermanence be connected with holding things with some kindness and compassion in the light of impermanence. As we continue to sit quietly, want to invite looking into another dimension of seeing that leads to wisdom. This is in the seeing into dukkha or reactivity. Just notice for the next few minutes if there are any moments of a level of the pleasant, kind of moderate or greater level of the pleasant, moderate or greater level of the unpleasant. Notice if there are any tendencies with the pleasant to want and then to grab hold of, to grasp. Any tendencies with the unpleasant to not want, to not like, and to push away in some way at the level of the body or thoughts. May not happen so much, but be on the lookout for that. And as you're noticing any moments of reactivity, even small, just to be aware that this is the source, the basic dynamic of so much that is difficult or painful in our lives. Again, can be a way that the clear seeing of wisdom can be connected, in this case, with compassion. And now for the last part of the silent practice together, let me invite a period of loving kindness or metta, or if you wish, some other heart practice, like compassion or joy or equanimity or forgiveness or gratitude. But for most of us, let me invite a period of metta or loving kindness in the way that you might typically practice that. Might be with phrases, might be with the radiating metta. Just more about feeling the energy of the heart and then letting it radiate outward, filling up the space. And as you practice loving kindness or some other heart practice, you can ask yourself what helps there to be a connection between the metta or loving kindness and the element of wisdom, which is there in the text. One of the last lines of the Metta Sutta speaks of the pure-hearted one having clarity of vision. The one who develops metta from the text is peaceful and calm and wise and skillful. One aspect is just having the clarity to see when one is distracted from the metta. That's one aspect that connects the practices, connecting metta with mindfulness and clear seeing. You can ask yourself again, what helps there to be a quality in the metta of wisdom and clarity? We'll practice this for the last part of our silent time together.